We'll just catch up on the air, I guess.
Yeah.
Busy week. Busy week. We'll play a little coffee clatch. Is that what it's called when the girls sit around?
Never say that again.
When the ladies sit around and talk over coffee?
No.
What is it called then?
I don't know.
Well, the Stammtisch then. That's when the dudes do it. That's the dude. That's what old men do. They have there's like one table that they go and meet at once a month called the Stammtisch.
Okay.
So we'll do that.
Okay.
That's not interesting at all.
No, it's good. I like it.
Yeah, you like it because we're done. You like it because it's in the can. It's in the rear view. Therefore, it is comedy gold.
And I like it.
Yeah, you like it. All right. Well, let's do it again. Let's from the top, the Stammtisch part.
Yeah.
Coffee clatch, go. You say coffee clatch this time.
Coffee clatch.
Hello and welcome to episode 504 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
Vancouver, Canada. What's going on in Vancouver, Adam? What are you doing? How's the summer been? I love August in Vancouver. How's it going this year?
I think it's good.
You think, but you're not doing it.
Yeah, the weather's good.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean,
how many times? So, we're recording this on August the 27th. That's the day today.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you been down to Spanish Banks this year?
I went once.
That's upsetting, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to go again? What's going to happen?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think Lisa's been twice. I've been once.
Okay.
I would like to go at least one more time. Yeah, while the weather's good.
Usually by this time, I mean, obviously, when we go for the summer, we tend to pack everything in, right? So it's a little bit more
condensed.
Yes, but so we would have been probably 10 times by now, I would say.
That's a lot.
In like the 6 weeks that we were there. Yeah, no, I love it there. It's one of my favorite places. So, get down there. Go find some when the weather gets good this week. Find some time.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's tough. It's tough, yeah. There's just stuff all the time now. It's just the way it is. And you know, stuff is starting up again, and so... Yeah, there's just so many different directions that we're both going between my wife and I that, not a lot of just, free day on Saturday. Let's just go down to the beach.
It's funny you should say that because I feel the same way. It's like, should some people have that, don't they?
Yeah, I think again, it's when the kids were younger, there was a lot of that and it was more looking for things to take them to do. And now you just kind of draw out your whole schedule and then you're looking for a day when you don't have something to do.
When you can sleep.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I'll just stay at home and watch Ferris Bueller again because I can't do this.
Yeah, I need a Ferris Bueller day.
Actually, that wasn't why I even brought it up. That makes sense. That's actually an accidental great reference on my part. I should have said Breakfast Club would have made more sense.
Okay.
So, but here's the move. Here's what you do. If we were there, which again, I've said every week probably for the last 3 weeks, if we were there, which was the plan, I would say we would definitely get together, have a group barbecue of all the friends and you, your family being one of them, to go down there and have a big barbecue on the beach, et cetera, et cetera. And the move would have been, so I encourage you to do this anyways, go buy some cedar planks, soak them overnight, take the barbecue down there and barbecue cedar planked salmon on the beach.
Okay, that sounds lovely.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be delicious and it's going to smell fantastic and everybody's going to be jealous of you.
Okay.
You're not going to do that.
No, probably not.
Okay.
It's a good dream. It's a dream.
Oh, it's pretty yeah, pretty unreachable dream.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? Are you actually getting one day of the week out? Are you being able to go out and enjoy the outside, or is it just
Yeah, we've been playing some golf, so that's been a good outside activity. And so gonna play a round of golf this weekend.
Are you good?
No, I'm terrible. I wish I was good. I don't know. Okay. I grew up, you know, being, you know, pretty athletic and good at most sports that I tried. Golf, not so much. I don't know. It's one of those sports that I can be good for streaks of time, but I'm really inconsistent. And, you know, in the last 8-9 years, I probably get out 3 or 4 times a year. So that doesn't help the consistency part.
No.
You know, when I was younger and pre-kids, I would probably get out once a week, and then, you know, my game was a lot better then. I think also aging, you know, another 15 years and my body getting stiffer. I mean, also, I think I can move like I could when I was 30, but I can no longer. So,
right.
Yeah, golf is one of those things where, you know, repetition, muscle memory, you know, it's all about being consistent, not necessarily about, you know, being able to crush it. And yeah, I'm not good. So that's the bottom line. Jack has been taking lessons for the last couple of years. So he's, over the summer, he's been going weekly for lessons. And so he's already, you know, as good as me. And on some days he can be better. So that's not great either. It's humbling, but he's had a lot of coaching, so that's helpful.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm the same as you. Like when I first started golfing, like when I was like, I probably started later in life than most people.
Me too. I was in high school. I probably started.
Yeah, same. I say most people. I mean, most people in Canada or whatever. Here, nobody golfs here. Hardly anybody. Very, very little golfing going on.
Okay.
But I remember when I first started. I was very good for a guy who just started. Notice I added the little qualifier at the end for a guy who just started.
Right.
So it wasn't like I was good, but it was like, okay, yeah, that's pretty good for day one. And I'm still the same golfer as that kid. I got no better.
Yeah.
So
that's golf, yeah, I think, in general, yeah. And I think you have to really kind of work at it, which I've never done. And I think taking a lot, taking lessons for sure is a real important thing to do, just in terms of developing a consistent routine, which I've never done. So for a lot of reasons, I'm bad, but I do enjoy getting out there in the sunshine with my kid, and I'm going to try to get out this weekend with my father and my son. So the three generations of golfers. So yeah, that's fun. It's fun just to get out and do it, even if I'm terrible.
And then when you get back home, show him Caddyshack for the first time.
Sure, out there. That sounds good.
Yeah, he'll appreciate that. Yeah. I do like golf a great deal. In fact, it gels well with photography because it's usually a very picturesque sport.
Oh, spoiler alert, my monthly challenge for this month, taken on the golf course.
That's what you mentioned, actually. But in general, I just find that even an ugly golf course, which you can find, is still pretty great to be out there, and you can still find some pretty awesome backdrops.
Yeah.
My one big pet peeve about the golf courses, though, and look for this, I don't understand people who leave their cigarette butts on the golf course.
I haven't seen much of that lately, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just keep an eye out for that. All right. That's all I'm saying.
We'll do. Yeah.
Amazon. If you're looking for golf balls, and be honest, I how many golf balls do you bring when you go out? A dozen?
It depends. Like a lot of times, if I'm going to a nice course, I bring more because there's. Seems like more water and more trees, more places to lose golf balls. If I'm going to a wide open golf course, I can get away with, you know, 3 or 4. But yeah, I probably need at least a half dozen on a nicer golf course.
You can play an entire round with one ball at Green Acres.
Yes, that course you can. Yeah.
Mayfair Lakes, you better double up.
That's where we've been going. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it's right there in the name. Green Acres, you can figure out what that means. And Mayfair Lakes, you can figure out that too.
Yeah.
Figure out. I love the fact that Green Acres is just so jammed in together that even if you miss the fairway, you'll hit another one.
Oh yeah, you're fine.
you're always going to play across. I play across a lot. So there's that. So when you need golf balls, buy them on Amazon and click through our site. Help us out. That's got to be something you could really buy on Amazon now.
I'm sure. And tees and training aids and whatever.
Do they even have golf shops anymore?
Yes.
Like Riverway? What was that
one?
Well,
I think that one closed. There was one called like, yeah, it was like Riverview or something. But it moved like three locations and then it eventually, I think, died. But they have Golf Town, so that's still a thing.
Golf Town, that's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, so that's a big one.
Big Tom's or something.
No, there's that, and then they have like some specialty kind of shops, like, you know, mom and pop shop golf places in Vancouver, like in the city.
Okay.
So, yeah, because we got Jack's clubs, because for juniors it's a little harder to find stuff. So they didn't have what we wanted at Golf Town. We had to go to a small golf shop in Vancouver.
Gotcha. Yeah. Otherwise, but buy the balls on Amazon. Come on,
and tees right
to your house.
Yeah, and tees and
who buys tees? Don't they just come? Don't you just get tees when you show up to play?
Well, you pay for them, or golf watches, like GPSs, all the fancy golf technology.
Don't do that.
Yeah, you should get that on Amazon.
No. Just look for the 150 markers. I like the courses that plant trees for the 150 markers.
Okay.
I like that. That's a class move. The white stake, not cool.
I like the GPSs. Not that I have one, but they're pretty awesome. And I like to just walk around and be like, now I'm 157 feet or yards from the pin. Now I'm 152. Right. That's a fun game. You ever play that game?
Yeah, I pretty much just hit a 7-iron no matter what. I just, like okay.
Like tin cup.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, I like playing with your brother-in-law. Because he fancies himself a big, like a long hitter, first of all.
Yeah.
So like he'll be like, all right, I'm 180 yards out. That's about a 3/4 9. And it's like, all right, well, but his brother, everyone at home is like paying attention to the family tree here. His brother is even worse. I've played with him a few times a long time ago, and he'll be like 240 yards out and. It's about a half sand wedge in, just a little knockdown. I'll bump it and run it. That's me. I'm a big hitter. Meanwhile, he's 4'11" and not a big hitter. Yeah. So there's that. Oh, that could be enough golf talk.
Okay.
For now.
Yeah, but Tin Cup, you should rewatch that. That's awesome.
I thought about that actually. I saw it when it first came out and thought, well, this isn't Bull Durham, and moved on.
Oh,
and that's probably unfair.
Jack and I both quite enjoy that movie.
It is uncomfortable to watch him hit in the water over and over.
Yeah, again, but though. Still so good. So good.
Okay. I will check it out because I also kind of have always loved Rene Russo.
Yeah, also enjoy her in that movie.
Yeah. Speaking of Amazon, my massage gun showed up yesterday.
Okay, you pulled the trigger, literally.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally pulled the trigger on the massage gun. It's called something else in Canada, I think. Whatever. Point being, I wish I bought two of them. These things are awesome.
Okay. All right.
Get one. You guys, I suggest to anybody out there who's even not even didn't even know what they were, get one. Definitely get one. So far, so good.
Okay, you're massage gunning everything.
Yes. My wife loves it. So much so, like my son loves it, but he loves massaging daddy in the morning. So we woke up this morning and it was just fun for him to hammer daddy's hamstrings and back and everything.
Okay.
It was awesome. Great start to the day.
All right.
It has not fixed my elbow in one day though.
Okay. Okay.
I was hoping for something like maybe I should have ordered magic beans. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it feels pretty good on the elbow. We'll talk about where I should be hammering it to fix my elbow by next game.
Gotcha.
I honestly get one though. It's for whatever, for the hammies, the back, all the muscles. Do it.
Okay.
Okay. So what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on with me. More woodworking the last couple days. I had taken a break, like because we vacation and all that stuff and whatever. So it's been a while since I made anything, and I got soft quickly.
In what way?
Like I guess I lost momentum, okay. Or something, because I was just like, you know what? I just needed to get, first of all, I needed to get downstairs to make something. I have a bunch of big projects in the works that, like, I wanted, like, all new floors in the whole house. Speaking, I'll get to that in a second, actually. But anyway, so I just wanted to do something small just to kind of get back into it. And I found that it, like, my whole thought process of how I normally make something is, like, I don't have plans. I just kind of envision what I want. Okay, now what's the best way to do that? And then problem solve as I go. And don't really take measurements, just kind of, you know, do it by feel if I can. Sometimes measurements have to happen, but generally I don't do that. And then I found myself just kind of stumped on how to build something. So I made like a hallway mirror with hooks on it.
Okay.
That I won't show because it's actually a gift for somebody. So until I give it to them, I don't want to post it on Instagram. So it worked out good, well, nice, but it took a little while to do. And so I've noticed that if I get away from something like that, that I kind of just lose my edge on stuff like that.
Okay.
Same thing happens when I watch the TV show Jeopardy.
Okay.
I'm dead serious. Cause, obviously we don't get Jeopardy over here, but it's on Netflix. Right. And so I had watched them all, and that was it. I'm not going to watch them again. And then they just redid. So it was a few months ago. I was done, and they just released like a whole bunch of new episodes. So I started watching again, and in those few months, I'm getting slower and slower. And like I'm like, I know the answer to that question. I can't retrieve it fast enough.
Oh no!
After like a few episodes, I'm back though. So I'm just telling you, like you think. You know, you want to work out, go for a run, or do all those things to keep your body in shape. You got to do your mind too.
Okay, all right. So good advice. That. Yeah.
So I'm going to do floors. Here's also I just had a weird experience. Now I'm just kind of thinking that maybe this story, if told short, it might not be that interesting, and I don't want to tell the long version. But I went into the floor shop, mm-hmm. massive warehouse that all they do is sell floors and doors.
Okay.
And anything else that rhymes, I guess. That's mm-hmm. what they do.
Yeah.
So I go in there and they have it all laid out, like all the different kinds of floors. And I'm like, we have an idea of what we want. And so we're checking it all out. And I got questions and they just will not come and talk to us. There's nobody else in the warehouse. There's like four people working there. No other customers because it's like noon on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy just will not come over. Finally, like my kids are done running around. So my wife takes him out to the car. And I go approach the guy working there. It turns out he's some like 18-year-old kid.
Okay.
So I'm already not loving this. I'm already thinking there's no way this guy installed 500 floors. It's not happened. He's played some serious Fortnite. Mm-hmm. So if I have questions about that, we're good. So I ask me a few questions. He kind of gives me a couple of yes or no answers and then just walks away. I was like, you understand. Like I was angry because I was like, I'm here to spend money. Like you, I'm going to redo my two and a half floors of my house. We're going to spend, I don't know, what does that cost? What does that cost for floors?
I don't know. It depends on what your materials are. Huge variation.
Yeah.
Let's say $4,000.
Oh, it's going to be higher than that. Like we're spending more than that. Like okay, legitimately.
Let's say $6,000.
It's going to be more than that. We're going to spend, I'm assuming with all the, what do you call them? I know in German.
Underlay,
but the baseboards and all that stuff, all the floors, all the baseboards, everything. You start adding it all up. I'll bet you we're going to drop $12,000.
Okay. All right.
Which is, I mean, that we're talking about the entire upstairs of our house, four bedrooms.
But are you're not installing it, right?
I'm doing it.
Oh, well, then that sounds like a lot for materials.
We're going to get the engineered hardwood. So it's going to be the wood, not solid wood, but the wood, like the wood, the top layer wood. You know
yeah,
what I'm talking
yeah,
about, right?
Yeah,
engineered? It's called something else here. So whatever, it's not cheap, whatever. Maybe it's less than that. I don't know. I haven't done all the square footage of the house, square meters over here.
Okay.
So call it $10,000. I'm prepared to just drop $10,000. Pretty much like that. All you have to do is basically hold my hand and tell me, okay, look, here's the one you want. Here's the cream of the crop. Here's the one that's fine. you want to go in the middle. Like, don't get super high end oak, but you don't want this one. This one's gonna be a waste of your time. Get this one. Let me tell you what I'm gonna do here. We're gonna put this together. I'm gonna knock 5% off just right out of the gate, just to help, just because I like the cut of your jib, that kind of thing.
Sold. You sold.
Yeah, done. Yeah. Done. Like, I was in. Because I don't love going to the Home Depot for this kind of stuff because they don't know what they're doing typically. So anyways, he just didn't care. And I walked out and I was like, all right, well, I just looked at the floor I want. I'm now going to order it online because of you. See you later.
Okay.
You just blew it, floor guy.
Did you really order it online?
Not yet. I'm going to.
Okay.
I'm not going to be loyal to that. So this accidentally ties into the topic we'll talk about a little bit later. All right. Reminder, monthly challenge is Evening Sky. Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers. Even better, put both those hashtags and tag us at Two Hosers on the Instagram. We'll be sure to check that out next week.
Yes.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No.
Okay, did you shoot anything this week?
I took a few pictures at the ball field because our association, they got a donation from the Vancouver Canadiens Baseball Club for like new infields, like new grass. So they,
wow, you know,
they had at the fields that we usually play, it was all kind of dirt gravelly.
If they infield. Want to do hardwood, I know a guy.
Yeah, sure. So they got a big donation to put in these grass infields, which they did, you know, leading up to spring. And so the fields are nice. And so one of the guys involved with the baseball association asked if, you know, I could take a few pictures at one of our games just to sort of show the field. So I mm-hmm. did that. So that's it. I was just uploading them when we were just prior to us getting started here today. So I was just going to send him, I don't know, 6 or 7 pictures, which then I believe he's going to send to the Vancouver Canadiens for them to use on their website just as kind of a thank you. So kind of the field being the key player in the photo, but of course you need kids playing baseball on it to bring it to life.
Yeah. Literally just grass growing.
Yeah. At first he was like, just take a picture of the field. I'm like, yeah, that's not really a thing. Like, they're not going to put that on their website. Yeah.
No. Yeah. No, they're not. No, yeah. That's just too generic. Do they put like down like the roll grass or the plant grass or what?
I think it was planted. I'm not 100% sure. Okay. I just saw the finished product. I didn't see the process, but it looks pretty darn good. So I'm pretty sure it was planted. But
our field, we got a new infield at the end of last year, but because of the way that the season went, it was like, all right, season went super long, so you couldn't plant grass. It wouldn't grow in the wintertime, and you know, if you plant it in the springtime, it takes, you know, X number of weeks or months until you can play on it, and so that wasn't going to work, so they sprung for the very expensive roll, like the turf that you roll out.
Yeah, yeah.
The ready-made. Very expensive, and then COVID hits, and there's no season. So it didn't really matter. We could have just planted grass.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they started this well out, so I'm pretty sure it was planted.
Nice. I shot something last week that I meant to show you last week, but I forgot. During our little lake vacation, we were about 25 and a half hour south of a city called Ulm, which I think I mentioned in the show last week. Sits right in the border of Baden-Württemberg and Bavaria, and it's the birthplace of Einstein.
Mm-hmm.
You ever hear of that guy?
Yep, I've heard of him.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know what else. Ulm is also famous for the tallest church tower in the world.
Okay. That's
It's pretty tall. I have hiked it to the top before, and it's open now. I wasn't super interested in doing it though, considering the COVID situation.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people in Ulm were pretending that COVID never existed. And so, like, oh boy, like people not just that they weren't social distancing, they just were not paying attention to other people.
Okay. You know what I mean? Yep.
Just kind of walking around, like they just walk right into you, and it was absurd. And so there's no way I was jamming in with my kids and my wife, my kids, and hiking up at the top. But we went, made sure to go and take some shots out front. And so I shot my kids out front of the church tower. And obviously, you can't just go shoot it. Like, it's really hard to do to get everybody, get them in the shot, because it's such a massive, tall thing. And so I shot a couple of panoramas. I shot one with my 40D, a panorama that I stitched together.
Okay.
And then I shot one with the iPhone on the panorama mode. So have a look at these. Which one do you like better?
That's tough. I mean, I like the one where you can actually, you know, see your kids a little bit better. So the second one, mm-hmm. but then the perspective is kind of warped.
It is a little bit warped.
Versus,
yeah, it does look a little short.
Versus the first one, your like, I like the what the building looks like in the first one a little bit better, but then your mm-hmm. kids are so tiny in that photo that it's hard to even know from, I'm looking at it on an iPad, who that would be if I didn't know. If I wasn't talking to you, I wouldn't uh-huh. necessarily know. So yeah, tough one. Perspective, I like the first one. In terms of figuring out what it's a picture of, I like the second one.
Right. Okay. So you can't pick a horse. Okay. The
second. The 40D. I'll go with the second. You want me to say the second? You're going.
No, I don't know. I don't know what to pick. I feel this. I feel the same way. I couldn't pick one either. I was just kidding you. No, the 40D is the one where my kids are small, and that's, I'm going to say five photos stitched together. That's the 40D with the 30mm lens, and I just basically snapped landscape. No, sorry, portrait. Yeah, landscape. Sorry, landscape. What do you call it when you hold the camera that way?
Landscape. Up and down would be portrait, and sideways would be landscape.
Orientation, I think, is what I'm looking for.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's so I shot it that way, and then shot them, and then just kind of worked my way up and shot a bunch more. And so you get a decent, like, there's a little bit of I think, a little bit of sort of issue in the just above their heads in the doors, like the doorways there,
mm-hmm.
the arches, like just below the arches, you can see a little bit of the crooked lines, which is obviously the church is straight, but I liked it. But then I also like what you said, having the different wide perspective and having my kids so prominent in the foreground, and that was just the built-in pano feature on the iPhone. This is just right out of the iPhone, no corrections whatsoever. And that's I don't even have a good iPhone. I have like an iPhone SE from like 4 years ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
It still does a decent job like that.
Yeah.
So, anyways, difficult to shoot. I don't know if I would have even got a better picture if I had the 17 to 40. It would have been kind of difficult to get everything in and have your kids look normal. As it is, the one with my kids in the foreground that you can really see, that where they're bigger, they do look a little goofy. Like my kids, I promise they don't look like that goofy in real life.
Okay.
Still goofy. They still look goofy, but not that goofy.
Okay.
But anyway, the iPhone panorama is a fun little feature that has been around for 8 years, so I'm finally bringing it up now in 2020.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, sure. We're really early to the game on this one, Attridge. All right. Photo challenge this week is dealer's choice, because Adam could not pull the trigger.
That's right. No, I wanted cute and cuddly.
You wanted cute and cuddly. You said coffee clutch. I said no.
Yeah, I was rooting for cute and cuddly, and you wouldn't let that happen. So you opted for dealer's choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I opted for dealer's choice because cute and cuddly is a silly one.
No, it's good. I'm pretty sure of all the photo challenges we had, not the worst one.
Well, that's not saying much.
That's bold. I'm just saying the bar is low.
Yeah. So. Anyway, all right, let's look at your cute and cuddly dog. I'm not cuddling this dog. That's how you get ticks.
This dog is so cute and cuddly.
Yeah. What's this dog's name?
I can't remember.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I grew up with a golden retriever like this. And so golden retrievers to me are just the cutest, most cuddliest dogs in the universe. Like, I love them. They have the best personalities. They're just, they're puppies for life. We had two different.
How are goals. They for hair? For shedding?
Oh,
hair.
They shed so much. Yeah, don't wear a black bodysuit. Yeah, in Germany that's a problem, right? A lot of black bodysuits.
Right. Well, also I'm a ninja, so yeah.
Well, you're gonna have to get a special spandex ninja suit so that the mm-hmm. the blonde fur doesn't stick to you.
I think Lululemon makes those.
So anyways, this was a dog. A friend of mine has this dog, and I love this dog. And it was kind of sitting at the top of a staircase when we were over visiting. And I had my camera, and I thought, oh, I'm gonna take a photo of this dog. And so this is at the top of a pretty steep staircase, and I'm got the 70-200 on my camera, and I'm sort of, you know, down at the bottom of the staircase, kind of aimed up. So the background is actually like the wooden kind of roof of their balcony that sort of overhangs, and so you get the different tones of kind of the wood. And yeah, and so the light's coming through on the back, which is why the wood kind of color tones change. And I'm basically just all the way, I think, zoomed in at 200 millimeters and just aimed, trying to get focus on the dog's eyes. I think it's an F4.5. Mm-hmm. It's at the wide open end of that lens. And that's it, just a point and shoot. Just tried to keep the bottom of the staircase kind of level so that it didn't look weird. And
right.
That's it, the end.
Okay, so here's the thing about pet photography. I know it's the thing. Some people love it. They go nuts over the pet photos.
Okay.
I go the other way. I could care less. I don't care about pictures of people's dogs and not that I don't care. I'd say I don't care. I'm kind of an agnostic or about it. Like, I just don't care, right?
Okay, sure.
So that being said, this is a very good one, and you know, so this is nice. I like the dog. Definitely a good looking dog. Really good pose and all and whatnot that the dog is doing. I don't know if the dog knows it's posing. I think it's just dogging. It's just there. Yeah. But what really does make this photo is the background.
Yeah, the background. So that lens too. Like, that background is not that far away.
Right. Yeah, so at F4 too, that's the first thing I did when I saw this photo was go look at the EXIF data, because I said, okay, I'm pretty sure this is 200. This is a 70-200 racked out at 200 all the way open at F4. That's how you get that sort of creamy background.
Yeah.
And having that gradation naturally fall off like that looks really cool. And then in addition, those color tones are just perfect. What's going on with the dog's fur, because it kind of like those browns kind of match that the fur in that general palette.
Yet
it's dark enough to contrast, and then it goes even darker up top. So that's what makes this photo.
Agreed, that's what spoke to me as well. Just love the colors, and even just how that lens, like you say, you know, goes, it's very different feel to this lens with a shot like this compared to the 85, where, you know, the fur, like the little spiky bits of fur are only out of focus a little bit, but then go back 10 feet and it's just gone. It's just like someone just painted that background, right? Like,
if you were to shoot it at, say, at F1 and 1.8.
Right. Yeah. If you were to shoot this photo with the nose would be so far out of focus. And so, I mean, the nose is a little out of focus, but not crazy. The front paw, like all of it, the mouth is just a little out of focus. Whereas you clearly see that the eye is the sharp in focus part, but everything else on the dog really isn't out of focus very much versus the background, which is so crazy out of focus. And I find that the 85 millimeter, just like, I would know for sure that if I took this photo, the 85 millimeter would not look like this. It would be a very different shot. Right. Yeah.
Yep. That's right. All right. So let's have a look at mine. I pressed for time before my daughter left the house today to go out. She's still not home. I thought, oh, I better get a photo. And so I go to my good old backup plan. Good old standby. Always there for you. Unless it's nighttime, and then it's not.
Window light. You're going for window
light. Window light.
Yeah.
Just waiting for the big, window light.
Woo!
Hey, window light.
Hey.
Yeah, so this was. So this is downstairs in my basement. We have the little entranceway by the basement door. It's painted blue. And I had her stand down there. I did shoot with the 85 at an F4. And through the 1/8 black Pro Mist on there as well, just for a little added oomph.
Okay. I like it.
It's my daughter. I mean, how many pictures? It's hard to come up with something interesting to say about the 40,000th picture you've seen of my daughter.
Yeah, no, I like it. It's a little bit dark for my tastes for this kind of photo. Like,
okay.
A little bit contrasty for her. Like, I don't know if it's just the angle that the light's coming in. Like, the smile, the shirt doesn't match the sort of tone or the mood of this photo. Like, it's a little bit moody for her expression and for her outfit. And so, mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of like, I feel like she should be crying in this photo for the light, the way the light's coming across her face.
It's not appearing like that on my monitor.
Okay, might be just my iPad, so that's what I'm looking on.
Okay.
Just a little bit moody and contrasty, that's what I would say.
There's definitely contrasty, but I wouldn't say I purposely exposed it to not be dark, but the thing is with this part of my house, whenever I see, down in the basement, it's down below, it's actually basement, it's like half below ground level, or mostly below ground level. Almost all below ground level. Let me be perfectly honest with you now. And so you go down these stairs to get to that door, and then that door has one of those sort of like frosted kind of glass things on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you already can't. So it's already diffused light, but it's also not direct light because it's down some stairs into the basement.
Okay.
So it's like a double diffused light. And so when you go down there and you see it, it's a very tight area too, like that little entrance part to downstairs, and you see it. And every time I see it, I think, well, that would make a great photo. Like, that's just awesome, cool light.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time I go and do it, I fail to execute. Now, I don't mind this photo; it's fine. I'm not going to cry about it, but I'm not putting it up there in my top 10. So, I have yet to execute a decent window light shot in this one particular spot. And I really don't know why. Is it because the background's so close and it doesn't fall off enough? You don't have enough control? I don't know.
Gotcha.
So what I'm telling you is get on a plane, get over here, we'll solve this.
Okay, all right.
No better time to come here. I'm sure flights are cheap.
Yeah, I'm sure they are too.
I mean, you can get in. With Canadian passport, you can get in, no problem. I'll pick you up in Frankfurt.
They might let me fly the plane.
Yeah, I think you're pushing it. It's tough to keep Abstand, the 1.5 meters, when you're in the cockpit.
But, right.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyways, window light, always a nice standby. Check it out. All right. Topic for this week. This is another short one, hopefully. So it's going to be a short topic. We keep them short in the summertime. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about, because you got back to school coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Do they still have official school photo, like photo day at school?
I believe they did it this past year. My kids are both in elementary school. Sarah's going to high school this year. So I think because they do like a high school yearbook. So I'm pretty sure they still do a high school, like, you know, grade 8 photo, grade 9 photo, grade 10. I think you get it all the way up.
Okay. But like for you, I mean, so when we were in school then, when we were in grade 8, for example, it was kind of a big deal. Like, you had picture day that your parents got notice ahead of time, and you made sure to dress up and whatever you wanted to wear that day for the photo. And if you didn't like your photos, you could do a redo. There was one redo day, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a big deal because, you know, you'd order the package and get, oh, I want to get this and this many wallet size, and go so-and-so, I'm giving it to so-and-so. Is that as big a deal today, now that everybody has an excellent iPhone and Instagram. Do you still need to get that package to give to grandma?
I don't think so. I think now even grandma's got an iPhone, so you just kind of email her photos of the kids. So she's kind of inundated with photos that I don't think she's necessarily in need of the hard copy 2.5 by 3.5 or whatever they are.
Okay, so now what does that company who, what was the name of it? Jostens? Who was the one for sure.
Okay,
so whoever the company is that handles that contract, that comes to the school, spends the entire day there and blow, like, just imagine that day, first of all. I mean, I don't know how many kids are in a high school nowadays. Was it 300? I don't know. And maybe more?
In a high school, I think it's much more than that, but I don't know.
I was thinking kind of junior high, because those were much smaller when I was a kid. And then, but whatever, like, say there's 500 kids in the school, you got to take 500 headshots in one day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's all the same. You're not setting up lighting, you know, over and over again. But that's a long day right there.
Yeah.
So, and then you make it all back. I'm sure they charge probably like a set base fee and then make money off the packages they sell.
Right.
What do they do now? How do they manage to do this?
I think it's exactly the same way. And I think that people still buy it because of the nostalgic factor in terms of, you know, we like to have the school photo as much as it might be very generic, and you now, you know, it's shot on a green screen and you pick your background. I think people still,
I don't like that though.
I don't either, but I think people still, you know, buy it because either they don't know how to take their own photos, or in cases like for us where we could take it, we still generally get it just because, you know, the kids like to have their school photo. So,
but I would like the backgrounds to all be the same. I don't want it to be different from kid to kid.
Yeah. And I'm guessing that their market research for these companies has told them that they sell more if you give the options for whatever backgrounds.
Oh, I'm sure they do. So yeah. That is, I guess, one way to pivot. And that's kind of what I was getting at when I was talking about the flooring guy, was like, listen up, chief, you have the internet. You have dealt with the internet for some time, and the internet doesn't have a giant showroom that they have to heat and pay the rent on and et cetera, and clean and have people come and work there. You can buy it online now. So you're going to have to pivot. You're going to have to do some value added in order for me to go and buy it from you, which I would totally do. I'm not trying to hold the guy hostage and say, you better do X, Y, and Z, or I'm not coming here. But you have to offer something. If you're going to stay relevant and stay in business, you had better do something. You better offer something that you can't get elsewhere.
Right.
Now, that's what I kind of wondered. Like, forget the fact that you're a photographer, because obviously it means way less to you having your kids' headshots, because you could do that in your living room.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine they're losing a lot of business from other people too, where it's a matter of, you know, hey, I'm not going to get the full package. I'll probably get one photo, snap it with my iPhone, and grandma can get that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I expect a lot of things, like, especially now with this pandemic, that's still on, by the way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's still going.
Okay. Okay. So the, especially with that, like, we're finding a lot of, It's a seismic shift in the way things have always been done. I have already lost one of my regular jobs. I have a couple of regular jobs that I have done every year for 20 years. One of them for 14 years, one for 20. I've already lost the 14-year job.
Okay.
Because it's just... First of all, the company says, like, you know, hey, like, they've had to cut back huge, obviously. Like, they've taken a massive haircut on their revenue because of all this.
Yeah.
And then has to filter down somewhere, and so they're cutting all their budgets, in fact, and then the logistics of doing it all with you know, all the different social distancing rules, and then, like, the video I would do would play at an event. That's always what it's for. It would debut at an event, and then it would be shown elsewhere. Well, that event is canceled because of the situation.
Right.
So I figured that going in. I said, you know what? Like, it doesn't bug me. It's like, all right, that is what it is. I'm not complaining by any means. I in the grand scheme of things, you know, I feel like we're very well off. So that's life, right? So ist das Leben. The second job that I've been doing for even longer and is a much bigger job, it also plays at an event. And it plays at a Christmas party every year, like a massive, massive Christmas party that that this company has. And that probably, they're probably not going to have a Christmas party this year. So will that job be canceled? Probably. Or it might, will it, at the very minimum, it will be scaled back tremendously. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be, still be something because I have a good relationship with them. You know, they also want to support me in these tough times as well. So it's all good, but it is shifting. Meanwhile, what we talked about last week, we talked about your submission for the photo challenge, which was some guy on the dock, turns out, not you, but you even said that on the show.
I can't remember what you're talking about.
You a photo of your family, extended family.
Oh, yeah. iPhone. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, how do you expect to make money if that's what people can, if that you can hand your phone to some dude on the pier and say here, and that's the result. How do you expect to make money in that field?
It's tough. Yeah. And I think that the key thing, you know, in any field about, you know, continuing to make money in these uncertain times is just good relationships. Like, you know, I think for photographers and those that are doing it for money, you know, most of their business probably comes referred word of mouth. And so people still, you know, want to have photos taken, and then they basically look at who's going to do this well for me. And then they talk to their friend and they're like, oh, you know, so-and-so did this for me. And then boom, that's how it happens. Whether or not they can take it with an iPhone is kind of inconsequential. I mean, it's more about, you know, the convenience and if they think it's going to be a good experience. I mean, there's a lot of things I might be able to do if I put enough work in and time that I still don't want to do. I'd rather pay someone else if I knew that they were going to do a good job. So I think photography falls under that umbrella.
It does, but there's also with the expansion of technology and technology being able to expand. I know people talk about, oh, the price of this. Oh, you see the price of that, the new R5, it's $4,000. And oh my God. So, yeah, that's cheap as chips for what you're getting. Like that is like everything is unbelievably cheap right now. Cameras are cheap. First, TVs. Look at TVs. Do they even cost money anymore?
Mm-hmm. I think they cost a little bit, but yeah, they're, like, you're right. They're unbelievably cheap for what you're getting. Just even in the last, you know, 6-7 years, like, I don't know, they're a tenth of the price.
Yeah. I spent $100 on groceries at the Safeway last month, and they said, oh, you get a free 32-inch TV. And I was like, 32, yeah. What am I doing with that?
Yeah, forget it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need that. I'll put that in my car. Wait, come on. So now cameras are so unbelievably reasonably priced, we'll say, that they can get into the hands of literally almost anybody. Can't say literally almost, but almost anybody that wants to get them. Plus the iPhone's doing such a great job. Even if you can, you are going to hire someone, their price has got to come down. It's got to reflect the demand, right?
Yeah.
It's lower demand, much more supply. That price has to come down. So you do, you absolutely do have to do something else. And that's what I was saying with this guy with the flooring is he has to come out and say, look, I see you walking around here with the kids. Hey, how big's your house? Are you doing, how many floors you're doing upstairs? Are you doing both the same? You do like the same kind of style on upstairs? And no, you're two separate styles. Okay, here's what I suggest for you. Let's talk about this. Here's what I like. Here's some tips. Check it out on YouTube. If you're going to do it yourself, you can do this on YouTube. That kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. You want to buy all this? I'm gonna drop this off at your house. No need to pay delivery fees. That kind of stuff. You got to pivot and make yourself relevant. That's the big thing. So when it came to losing these jobs, I literally did not care. First of all, I saw it coming. I saw there's no way we're gonna be able to do this. That's okay. So now I'm looking for where to pivot. And I'm okay with that because I don't see the point in expending energy trying to stay relevant in something that is no longer relevant.
Okay, yeah.
I see that all the time. I see people trying to put a square peg into a round hole no matter what versus making that pivot and doing something else. So my question, Adam, is why? Why do they do that?
Crazy.
Yeah, I don't have an answer. You can't answer that. It pains me to see it happen. Because with this pandemic thing, obviously, I want things to go back to normal. Like I'm not super thrilled with the way things are, like everybody else. But I'm not married to everything staying exactly the same for always.
Right.
Okay. It sounded like you had something to add, and I cut you off.
No. I think you know you're exactly right. I feel that way. I feel that, you know, it's, you know, sometimes forced change isn't a bad thing, right? Like there's a lot of things that, you know, through this pandemic and a lot of different industries that, you know, I think people have identified what needs to change. And hopefully, you know, and I think we've mentioned this in the past, and when we come out on the other side of this, and eventually we will, there's going to be a lot of change that is positive. So that's the takeaway, I think, right? There's a lot of negative for sure. There's a lot of, yeah, you know, woe is me and I wish things were better for me. And I think everybody can attest to that on some level. But then there's also like, okay, there's some really good things that will come away, and hopefully, you know, everybody will be better off in the long run. I mean, as hard as that might be to see now, right?
Right. So you're one of the people who sort of, I wouldn't say it's forced change, but it was almost forced change on you. Like, you,
oh, I was jobs. Forced to change. Yeah, I was forced to change jobs.
You could have stayed, stuck it out, but it.
I could have and waited, yeah, months. And I mean, you know, the clinic that I was previously working at only reopened in August. So I would have, right. And I started working at another clinic, you know, at the, you know, beginning of June. So I would have been waiting another couple of months, and I wasn't prepared to do that. Right. But on top
not,
of it,
not financially, but just sort of, no, from just a work, yeah, standpoint.
Exactly. I it'd been long enough, and I felt like I needed to work. So, I mean, yeah, I had to look around and look for what made sense to me. And so, but I mean, our whole industry has changed in terms of, you know, you work with a mask 100% of the time, the patients wear a mask, like it's a, mm-hmm, different flow of people in and out of clinics to, you know, allow for social distancing, and just everything in my industry in terms of how I work feels like it's changed, other than the actual, you know, I'm prescribing exercises, I'm doing manual therapy, but just the whole interaction is different. For sure. And I mean, I've adapted.
That will be temporary, though.
Yeah. I mean, temporary for a year, for 2 years. I mean, nobody knows for sure. But I've adapted. I think, you know, patients have adapted. And I think the experience is still positive. Now you wear a mask, right? And you.
Yeah, but how are you going to stay in the physio business when we have massage guns?
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
I'm just saying. You want to look at
wait until there's a robot guy holding the massage gun, and then I'm in trouble. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but okay, but
could be a robot girl, robot guy or girl. I don't.
I wasn't gonna ring you up on that. I felt it a little bit sexist.
Yeah, could be robot anybody. Yeah.
I mean, as long as they dream of electric sheep, you're.
That's
all right.
Right.
But
yeah.
So how was the new job before we sign off here? How was that change? How has that manifested itself? What's the outcome? What's for now? 2 months in? 3 months?
This is my third month. It's great. Yeah. Love the clinic. Love the community. I mean, I've lived in this community for, you know, more than 10 years. So, I mean, it's already a community I love, but the demographics, a super kind of active population where I live. And so everybody's super active. And so that also means very motivated to get back to their activities. So really, really happy with the change. And yeah, the demand is very high. So that's good as well. Every day when I come in, I keep looking to see if Panger is put himself in the in the queue as a new patient. So that's your neighborhood, Frank. Just let me know when you need help with your sprained ankle or sore knee or whatever.
He could be in tip top shape though.
That's probably true. Yeah,
that's probably the situation. The guy's limber. You're not going to see him.
Yeah.
But so how is it working? Like, I mean, you say the community. It's a community that you not only work in now, but you are also a huge part of. How is that working for word of mouth?
That's very good. Yeah. So I've had a lot of patients referred through either my contacts or my wife's contacts, whether that's related to, you know, the sports that our kids are in or activities, or, you know, my wife being an administrator in the district. Like we're well connected here. And so then that has made for a very quick referral base. And then on top of that, in our business, it's always, you know, do good by your patients, and then the patients are your referral source. So yes, it's in terms of working in a community where I didn't know anybody. Like when I first went to Langley, it probably would have taken me 3 or 4 years to get the number of direct referrals that I've had in 3 months. So that it helps to live in the community and, like I say, be very, very well connected within that community.
And also, you haven't lit any patients on fire in at least 4 months.
That's true. Yeah.
Solid stretch. That's a good. That's probably your best stretch so far.
Yeah, I should put that on a business card or something.
And no major fires. Yeah. 6 months.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. And counting.
Good to know. All right. So there you go. Pivot. Don't struggle for relevancy. Be relevant. That's that.
Yeah.
Challenge for next week is our monthly challenge, and that is Evening Sky. Hashtag that, Two Hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers, even better. Hashtag both of those and tag us at Two Hosers. We'll be sure to see that on Instagram. We'll talk about that next week. Adam, websites, where can people go to find your stuff?
They can find me at adamschwartz.ca.
And LinkedIn. Remember, are you still doing that?
Yeah, it's my LinkedIn is getting quite big. I think I got to be close to 300 kind of in my circle. A lot of it, you know, connected to the healthcare industry. And then, yeah, lots of photography kind of links there just related to our listener base. And
really?
Yeah, feel free. Anybody who wants to be part of the ever-growing network to send me an invite, and I'm happy to.
Do I need to sign up for LinkedIn?
Yes. Yeah, you got to create a LinkedIn account. But
No. I know one has to sign up. Mm. Do I need to sign up? Do I need to be part of the LinkedIn?
I think, again, in the world of pivoting and, you know, access, like I thought it was just a thing, like just, oh, tell people who already know me where to find me. And then I found that at the clinic, just within, you know, doing this for the last, I don't know, since I started, so 2 months, I've already had referrals from people I do not know because they're in the healthcare industry and they're connected in my city. Send me direct referrals, say, hey, you know, I, you know, looked at your profile and, you know, you're part of my network. And so I'm sending you such and such. So this has already happened a couple of times in such a short time span of me doing this. I'm like, okay, I'm sold. This works, right? Okay. So yeah, not just people I know, but complete strangers that I have just made a part of my network within the community. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would imagine for photography, you know, the same thing. Like, you know, your profile.
I don't know if when I pivot, I don't know if it'll be photography. I might go smash windows in Wisconsin. We don't know.
Sure. Yeah. If that's
that seems lucrative right now.
If that's what you choose to do.
Mm-hmm. That might be a saturated market now that I'm looking at it.
Right.
Okay. Too soon, Adam? Too soon to make fun of that?
Too soon.
Okay. I'll cut that part. I'll cut your part of that out. So you're not going to get some nasty send all emails to Don Komarechka at doncom.ca. He'll handle all those, okay?
Yeah.
He'll handle those complaints. All right, you can find mine at alanatrich.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.